Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Time to join our expert on all things Vatican, Joan Lewis. So, Joan, a busy week, beginning with the end of the Pauline year.
Oh, exactly. The end of the Pauline year, and we had just begun the year for priests, and the Pope bestowed palliums on 34 metropolitan archbishops, and of course each of those new archbishops was in town with family and friends, so single, they come with pilgrimages and spend 4, 5, 6 days and have the individual masses and lunches and dinners.
That bestowing of the palliums is really a moving ceremony.
It's a beautiful ceremony. Just the story behind the pallium. And it's interesting to note, I don't know how many of our listeners know that the pallium, this band of wool that goes over the head, lies on the shoulders of the archbishop and then has a short extension in front and back. And it's embroidered with 7 wool black crosses. This is a symbol of their authority as a metropolitan archbishop and their unity with the Holy Father. But also, and think about it, you know, Jesus was the good shepherd. Remember when the image we all have of him carrying the sheep on his shoulder.
Yeah,
so
right.
You have lamb's wool, the wool of little baby lamb woven into the palliums.
That's blessed in the Feast of St. Agnes, isn't it?
Exactly. January 21st of every year, the little lambs are blessed.
You get lambs inside St. Peter's Basilica in that
yes.
day. Yeah.
And the papal apartments, and once, I don't remember how many years ago, a dozen or so, John Paul had them, the little lambs are all decorated, and they have flowers on the little wreath of flowers on their head, and their basket is decorated, and they're brought in. There's all these different people that come, and Pope John Paul had them 1 year. January 21st was on a Wednesday, so he had them brought into the audience hall so that, you know, many thousands of people could see it. But interestingly enough, the pallium is not bestowed on a person for the individual. The pallium is bestowed really because of a place. So it's not bestowed on Archbishop Dolan as Timothy Dolan. He's the Archbishop of New York, so it's a place. But the Pope had a wonderful homily that day, and he quotes the first letter of St. Peter, who calls Jesus the Bishop of Souls. And the Pope talked about how a bishop must watch over his flock as God watches over and cares for the entire world. So it's his flock, it's his family. He has to be there in the good and bad. And it was really a very, very moving homily.
Of course, the big event also on Monday was the encyclical.
And, you know, Caritas in Veritate, Pope Benedict's 3rd encyclical. And, of course, the name of an encyclical is always Latin. It comes from the first several words, sometimes 2, sometimes 3, of the encyclical, the original version of which is always in Latin. And this is expected to be a social encyclical, also looking at the global economic crisis. And it took the Holy Father a little while to write it because he started in 2007. However, the vicissitudes of this ever-changing global crisis, the ups and downs of it, are made him kind of like sit back and he would add new considerations and new thoughts to it. So
he had a lot of economists working on it as well,
yes,
together with him, no?
Exactly. And it'll be presented on July 7th. That was just announced this week, and on Tuesday, July 7th, but it was actually signed on the solemnity of Peter and Paul. So, and then
the Pope wanted, you know, that date
sure.
on the encyclical, didn't he?
He did. He did. What he did say Sunday at the Angelus was that it was going to be published imminently. It was very close to publication. And then it was only days later when the actual publication was announced. And, you know, you've got to translate this into a lot of languages, so it takes time. But what I found interesting, and a lot of people I've talked to found interesting, they expected Pope Benedict to perhaps base a lot of his thoughts, not base them on, but use to a great extent Pope John Paul's 1991 encyclical, Centesimus Annus, which, of course, was 100 years after Leo XIII's Rerum Novarum. And yet the Pope announced at the Angelus on Sunday that the encyclical takes up the social themes contained in Paul VI's document, 1967, so 42 years ago, Populorum Progressio. So I'm going to kind of take a look at that this weekend and see where Benedict is taking his inspiration from.
June the 30th. There was an event in the Pauline Chapel. It had just been restored, no, the 16th century Pauline Chapel, where the frescoes by Michelangelo.
It is absolutely breathtaking. And I have to tell you, it was doubly breathtaking for me. I talked to a number of colleague journalists and I said, have you ever seen this before? And they hadn't. And I'm going to say 15 or so years ago, I saw the chapel and don't remember the circumstances, but, you know, a priest or Monsignor friend in the Vatican, I was up in that area and he said, have you ever seen the Pauline Chapel? And he opened the doors and some of the light came in, of course, from the Sala Regia from which you enter. But I want to tell you, it was so dark. It was dark with age, with the dirt that came from candles burning, with so many different things. Plus, they had carpeting, dark carpeting on the floor and partly up some of the sidewalls. And I mean, the floor is just stunning in itself. The floor, the ceiling, Michelangelo's two frescoes. But the chapel was so dark, and I remember saying to Monsignor, I don't recall seeing a room this dark in the Vatican. So they brought this whole thing back to life. Plus, what they did was install a radical, beautiful new lighting system. You see the effects of light, but you don't see the lights themselves, and it's very beautiful, but especially the huge, I think it's 445 square feet each, mosaics, the crucifixion of Peter on the right and the conversion of St. Paul on the left. And the interesting thing, two interesting things about St. Peter, he didn't want to, felt that he did not feel he was worthy to be crucified like Christ. He wanted to be crucified upside down. And instead of having his head lying fully back on the cross and in a prone position, his head is lifted up. That had to require huge energy. And he's kind of looking out as if he's looking at us for help or prayers or something. That's number one. They discovered the original plan of Michelangelo, because they could find the design, was to have St. Peter's head back on the cross. And then Michelangelo obviously had a message and he changed that. Secondly, the nails that you see in St. Peter's right hand and on his feet were not there. They were not painted by Michelangelo. They were done at a later date. So very interesting things coming out. And the sad part of it is I could talk for half an hour about the beauty of the chapel and the work that went into restoration. And probably no one listening to us is ever going to get to see it. Because it's not like the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah. We've heard more about the Redemptoris Mater Chapel, which was restored.
That's stunning, too. Yeah. And that's mosaics. And you can visit that online on the Vatican's website. There's a part of the website that says papal basilicas and chapels, and you can actually visit that online.
Well, no doubt they'll put Pauline on soon, no?
Hopefully they will, because they've done video. We were not allowed to take pictures, but they have done a DVD of it, including the restoration, and they gave all of the journalists a CD with pictures so we could, you know, use those with signed permission. So lots of news. So it was John Paul to want the restoration of this, and then it's Benedict on July 4th inaugurating it with Vespers.
Of course, then he had his usual appointment on Wednesday, Pope Benedict, didn't he, with pilgrims. And, of course, the year for priests, which began on the Feast of the Sacred Heart.
On June 19th. He talked again at that.
He spoke about that.
What he said was that he announced that he will be dedicating for the coming months his Wednesday catechesis to the man, Saint Jean-Marie Vianney, the curé of ours, who is the whole inspiration for this year for priests, his writings, his life, and everything else. And so Benedict's intention is, if there's some priest out there who doesn't know the curé of ours very well, his very saintly life, obviously he is a saint, but just the fact that his ministry and his priesthood were one and the same. His whole personal life was his ministry and his priesthood, and that's what the part of the message, I think, that I'm gathering from Benedict's words that he wants to, get out. This is interesting. The Pope explained that the aim of every priest's mission is cultural, so that men can offer themselves to God as holy and living hosts to please him, thus deriving from him that charity which they are called to offer one another abundantly. So, and then the Pope stressed actually several times last week at the start of the year and Wednesday that missionary proclamation, your mission work and worship can never be suspended. So you have the sacrament, mission and sacrament are intertwined. They're almost one.
Pope Benedict, I noticed, mentioned the Vatican Council, the Second Vatican Council, a couple of times, and he did so on Wednesday, didn't he, as well?
Well, that actually was very interesting. He said following Vatican Council II, again, this audience that is dedicated to the Year of the Priest and Saint Vianney, the Pope said in some places the impression arose that there were more important things in the mission of priests in our time. Some people believed that the priority was to build a new society, so you were going to become kind of a help agency more than a spiritual. And that's where the Pope really went into stressing the two essential, what he called the two essential elements of priestly ministry, which we basically just mentioned, word and sacrament, the pillars of the priestly mission.
Joan, I'd like to thank you very much. And if I may, I'd like to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It's been a wonderful week, and my birthday's been more than 24 hours, so it's been great. Thank you.
See you next week. Heartfelt thanks there to Joan Lewis for sharing with us her expertise. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick.